Tonight, several breaking stories as we come on the air. The feared rail strike across the U.S. averted tonight. Also, the breaking headline at this hour involving former President Trump and what this now means. First tonight, 24 hours after passing the House, Senate Democrats and Republicans tonight passing the bill to avert that potentially devastating rail strike. But the Senate more divided over sick leave. So tonight, what did those rail workers get in the end? Rachel Scott standing by live on the Hill. Also, there is breaking news involving former President Trump tonight. A federal appeals court moments ago shutting down the special master, that review of documents seized at Mar-a-Lago. So what does this now mean for the former president? Pierre Thomas with late reporting. Also tonight, the stunning video, the close call for two U.S. Navy warships, the near collision. So how did this happen? Martha Raddatz standing by. Tonight, the arrest warrant for former NFL star Antonio Brown, accused of domestic battery, allegedly threatening to shoot the mother of his four children. Brown famously quitting during a game, tearing off his jersey, running off the field. Victor Oquendo on the arrest warrant tonight. The emergency at a middle school in Los Angeles, at least 10 students suffering from a possible drug overdose at the school. Several rushed to the hospital, Matt Gupton tonight, on what authorities believe they ingested. Prince William and Princess Catherine in Boston, their first visit to the U.S. in 8 years continuing. But tonight, overshadowed here in the U.S. by Harry and Meghan because of the video released today, the documentary, and what they're set to reveal. Yet another storm tonight, 23 states on alert for heavy snow and high winds, moving west to east, the Midwest next, before moving into the Northeast tomorrow and this weekend. So what to expect all the way east to Philadelphia, New York, and Boston? Rob Marciano timing this out. Paying tribute tonight to a Hall of Fame great and what so many of us never knew about a famous Christmas carol.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Thursday night. There is breaking news coming in on former President Trump tonight and Mar-a-Lago. Pierre Thomas standing by on that. First, the major headline involving that potential rail strike across the U.S. averted tonight. In the Senate today, Democrats and Republicans passing the bill now headed to the president's desk. For the first time in 20 years, Congress stepping in to force the deal negotiated months ago with help from President Biden between rail companies and some 12 unions. Several of the unions opposed the contract over the issue of guaranteed sick days. Economists, business leaders, and the White House had all warned the failure to enforce the contract would have cost the economy, some say, $2 billion a day. So tonight here, what did those rail workers get in the end? And what the president said late today about that additional sick time they wanted. Rachel Scott leading us off from the Hill tonight.
Tonight, the Senate moving to avert a potentially devastating economic disaster right before the holidays, passing a bill to avoid a crippling freight rail strike set for next week.
The joint resolution is passed.
In an overwhelming bipartisan vote, Congress forcing workers to accept a tentative agreement President Biden helped negotiate months ago.
What was negotiated was so much better than anything they ever had.
That deal includes a $16,000 immediate payout with an increase in wages and benefits to $160,000, a 24% pay raise, $5,000 performance bonuses, maintain access to health care plans, and an additional day of paid personal leave. But not in the deal, guaranteed paid sick days, a sticking point for some unions.
I think we're going to get it done, but not within this agreement. Not within this agreement. We're going to avoid the rail strike, keep the rails running, keep things moving, and I'm going to go back and we're going to get paid leave, not just for rail workers, but for all workers.
The House already passed a bill guaranteeing 7 paid sick days to rail workers. That failed today in the Senate. One Democrat, Senator Joe Manchin, voted against it. But it did have surprising support from 6 conservative Republicans. Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Lindsey Graham, Mike Braun, and John Kennedy, who earlier this year opposed the bill to make paid family and medical leave available to all Americans nationwide.
Mr. Kennedy, aye. Mr. Cruz, aye.
It's the first time in decades that Congress has used its powers to intervene and stop a strike.
So one legitimate question that's being asked now, are we about to do something where Congress will forever be settling the disputes through congressional action? I think that's a bad precedent and something that resonates with me.
The rare move hasn't been used in 20 years. Jacob Forsgren, that track welder from Lincoln, Nebraska, disappointed that Congress had to step in the first place.
I should not have to go 3.5 years without a raise to see this process through. I think the railroads need to do a better job of actually bargaining in good faith. So I guess to sum it all up, it's an incredibly frustrating process.
So let's get right to Rachel Scott live back on the Hill again for us tonight. And Rachel, how soon does this bill now go to the president's desk? And there was late word from the president today on how soon he'll sign it.
Yes, David. And tonight the president is celebrating the bipartisan action taken by Congress, saying that it pulled the economy back from the brink of a devastating shutdown that would have hurt millions of Americans. He wanted this deal done by the end of the weekend. And tonight he's promising to sign the bill as soon as it hits its desk. David.
Rachel Scott, who's been on this for weeks. Rachel, thank you. In the meantime, we turn to that breaking news involving former President Trump tonight. A federal appeals court just moments ago shutting down the special master review of documents seized at Mar-a-Lago. So, of course, the question tonight, what does this now mean for the former president and for investigators who've been waiting to get their hands on those documents? Let's bring in our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, also live in Washington tonight. He has late reporting on this. Pierre, what have you learned?
David, it's another rebuke of the federal judge overseeing the Justice Department's Mar-a-Lago document investigation. An appeals court tonight ruling that there's no need for a special master to oversee those documents Trump took from the White House to resolve issues of privilege. The appeals court concluding that Judge Aileen Cannon had cited no legitimate case law and questioning whether former President Trump should be treated any differently than any other criminal defendant. The appeals court had previously overturned a ruling by Judge Cannon, blocking DOJ from using classified documents seized from Mar-a-Lago. The latest ruling means DOJ could soon have unfettered access to all documents taken in the search of Trump's property, David.
Yes, the bottom line, investigators now getting those documents. Pierre Thomas tonight with the breaking news. Thank you, Pierre. In the meantime, we turn now to that very close call for two U.S. Navy warships, the near collision and the obvious question, how did this happen? This collision nearly played out in San Diego Bay, one ship appearing to head directly toward the other. In fact, they were just 35 yards apart at one point. Here's Martha Raddatz tonight.
It is one of the narrowest points in San Diego Bay and one of the narrowest near misses in recent memory. This video showing the massive ships on a clear collision course, the larger amphibious ship Harper's Ferry exiting the port with the smaller guided missile destroyer Momsen entering the port facing head-on into the larger ship. The Navy vessels coming within just 35 yards of one another.
Warship 4-9, we are coming to port to avoid you.
Warship 9-2, we are coming to port to avoid you as well.
That means both ships had to veer left to avoid a collision. According to inland navigation rules, vessels approaching one another would normally be required to stay to the right and pass one another on the left.
Maneuvering ships this large is actually hard when they're slow because it takes a long time for any rudder input to take effect. And so you can see this collision nearly happening.
It's really a remarkable image, Martha, and to hear them on the radio saying, we're looking to avoid you, both saying that back and forth to each other. Thankfully, no one injured, obviously, and no damage to the ships, but I gather there's going to be a full investigation here.
Exactly, David. The Navy says the sailors responded well to the impending collision, but this could have been a disaster. Aside from possible injury or damage to the ships, it could have shut down one of the busiest ports in the country right before Christmas. David?
All right, Martha Raddatz with late reporting from Washington as well. Thank you, Martha. We're going to turn next tonight to the arrest warrant at this hour, now issued for former NFL star Antonio Brown, accused of domestic battery, allegedly threatening to shoot the mother of his four children. Brown famously quitting during a game, tearing off his jersey, and running off the field. ABC's Victor Akenda tonight on the news coming from Tampa authorities.
Tonight, former NFL superstar Antonio Brown wanted by Tampa police after an alleged domestic battery incident with a woman. Earlier today, police positioning themselves outside his home, even using a megaphone, urging him to come outside, but police say they were unsure if he was home. According to authorities, Brown was arguing with a woman inside a South Tampa home on Monday, turning physical when he threw a shoe at her, a court issuing a warrant for his arrest. Brown has a long history of troubling behavior on and off the field, including being accused by two women of sexual assault. He's denied the allegations. And it's been almost a year since Brown played in the NFL, last seen tossing his undershirt into the stands, running off the field shirtless, quitting mid-game. His contract with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers terminated days later.
And Tampa police tell ABC News because Brown is not communicating with them, they aren't sure of his whereabouts. They're going to continue patrolling that neighborhood, hoping for a peaceful resolution. David.
All right, Victor Akendo in Florida. Victor, thank you. There was an alarming report today of a medical emergency playing out at a middle school in Los Angeles. At least 10 students suffering possible drug overdoses. Seven of the students rushed to the hospital. As you can see there, dozens of firefighters, ambulances on the scene. All the students were told were between 12 and 15 years old. Tonight, what authorities now believe the students might have ingested. Our chief national correspondent, Matt Gutman, on the scene in L.A.
Tonight, dozens of L.A. firefighters responded to that scare at a middle school.
Rescue 71, overdose 54, 35 S.
That initial call for possible overdose is coming at 10:34 a.m. with at least four victims from Van Nuys Middle School. That number growing to at least 10. All of the students experiencing mild to moderate symptoms. The massive response coming just a day after L.A. County reporting a nearly 1,300% increase in fentanyl deaths since 2016.
It was possibly an edible cannabis. It was not fentanyl. It wasn't anything that at this point is life-threatening, but we do not conclusively have that answer.
The victims between the ages of 12 and 15, medical personnel wheeling this student out on a stretcher into a waiting ambulance. Seven transported to area hospitals and concerned parents waiting nervously, others trying to take their kids home. One parent who just pulled her daughter from that middle school telling us her child was offered drugs by another student while she was there. We asked her about her reaction to the news that 10 students may have suffered possible overdoses.
Were you surprised?
I am not surprised. It's devastating, but I'm not surprised.
David, all of the students are expected to recover. Police tell me they are launching an investigation. And first responders I spoke to said they are imploring parents to remind their children that these chemicals can come in so many forms, vape, lollipops, gummy bears, and often even the people who are offering it don't know what's inside. David.
All right, Matt Gutman with the warning tonight from L.A. Thank you, Matt. We turn now to Prince William and Princess Catherine and their first visit in the U.S. It continues, the first time in 8 years. They're in Boston tonight, but their visit overshadowed in part today by Harry and Meghan and the clip of the documentary, what they plan to reveal. Trevor Ault in Boston again tonight.
Tonight, on their first trip to the U.S. in 8 years, Prince William and Princess Catherine, as they say back home, carrying on in Boston. Meeting with environmental innovators and with children's groups, even this young fan. But their visit to the U.S. tonight shadowed by Prince Harry and Duchess Meghan after Netflix released a first look at their intimate documentary, strongly hinting they will open up about life inside the royal family.
I had to do everything I could to protect my family.
When the stakes are this high, doesn't it make more sense to hear our story from us?
Critics noting the timing, the trailer, which doesn't even include a release date, still the decision made to put it out there with William and Kate here in the U.S. So far, no comment from Harry and Meghan or from Buckingham Palace, where tonight they're dealing with another crisis, damage control after accusations of racism by a member of the royal household during an event with Queen Camilla. A guest at the palace, Ngozi Fulani, a black woman born in Britain, saying Lady Susan Hussey, a longtime friend and confidant of the late Queen Elizabeth, repeatedly asked her where she was really from when she repeatedly told her, "I'm from Britain." But Hussey kept asking, "Where are you from?" even touching Fulani's hair. Fulani speaking out today in the UK.
I experienced racism in an environment that I should have felt safe in, and we need to address that.
Lady Susan Hussey has since resigned, and David, tomorrow night here in Boston, William and Kate will be attending the ceremony for that Earthshot prize. They'll also be meeting with President Biden. David.
All right, Trevor Ault tonight in Boston. Thank you, Trevor. And we do have one more note from Washington tonight and from the White House. President Biden holding the first state dinner of his administration. French President Emmanuel Macron, his guest. But even before tonight's dinner, the two leaders making news, reaffirming their commitment to support Ukraine amid their meetings. And knowing that Macron plans to talk with Putin again, President Biden was asked if he would talk with Putin to help end the war.
I'm prepared to speak with Mr. Putin if, in fact, there is an interest in him deciding he's looking for a way to end the war. He hasn't done that yet. If that's the case, in consultation with my French and my NATO friends, I'll be happy to sit down with Putin to see what he has in mind.
That from the president today. Let's bring in our senior White House correspondent, Mary Bruce, on this. Mary, I know you were in the room with the president, who said, though he's willing to meet with Putin, that he has no plans to.
Yeah, no plans to meet as of now, but David Biden certainly isn't closing the door here. What he is doing, though, is sending Putin a very clear message about the parameters, saying he will only engage directly if Putin shows he is serious about ending this war, which so far he has not. Now, the French president is taking a different approach. He has said he plans to speak with Putin in the coming days, but both Macron and Biden have been firm. It is ultimately up to Ukraine to decide when to negotiate, and when they are ready, they will have the full backing of NATO allies. David.
All right. We wait your details from the state dinner a little later on, Mary Bruce, tonight. Thank you, Mary. We turn now to the economy and your money, another key indicator tonight heading into Christmas that inflation, though still high, may be slowing. And tonight this, gas prices falling across the country, now the lowest since before Russia invaded Ukraine in February. AAA tonight reporting the national average for unleaded gas now at $3.47 a gallon, down about 12 cents in just the last week. Gas Buddy predicts prices could fall below $3 per gallon by Christmas, and wouldn't that be a nice gift? Tonight, President Biden's sweeping college loan forgiveness plan is now in the hands of the Supreme Court. The administration had asked the justices to overturn a lower court ruling that had put the program on hold. The Supreme Court denied that request, but did agree to rule on the legality of the program with expedited oral arguments. They're now expected in February. When we come back on this busy news night, we're tracking yet another storm tonight. 23 states on alert for heavy snow and high winds right now. The system moving into the northeast by this weekend, so Rob is standing by to time this out. And then the injured American soccer star before the cameras today, what he's now saying about playing for Team USA in the World Cup on Saturday.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, tonight, as I mentioned, a major new storm slamming the west and then headed east right across the country. 23 states on alert already. Heavy snow, rain, high winds. The Midwest next, the Northeast by this weekend. After the last coast-to-coast storm brought those deadly tornadoes, 35 reported across four states. New pictures still coming in, the strongest in Caldwell Parish, Louisiana. This was an EF3, 140-mile-per-hour winds on the ground for more than 7 miles, those long-track tornadoes. In Utah, Alabama, this apartment building now condemned. People sleeping when an EF2 hit, 120-mile-per-hour winds there. And tonight, look at this. From this new system already in Chester, California, that's Northern California, whiteout conditions, dangerous driving, and the mountain snow there measured in feet already, all from the newest storm. So let's get right to our senior meteorologist, Rob Marciano, tracking it all for us. Hey, Rob.
Hey, David. This is a powerful storm for December 1st in the west, and you're right. It's going to be piling up in the way of feet. We have avalanche warnings in California to Colorado and winter storm warnings as well. Let's take a look. Going to get wind energy with this as well through the mountains, 65 to 70-mile-per-hour winds. That stretches into the heartland as well. And right now, Central California getting a lot of heavier rain. That's going to be sliding down into Southern California, lingering in L.A. tomorrow, and then 1 to 3 feet of snow in the Sierras. And then maybe a foot or two of snow in the Wasatch of Utah into the Colorado Rockies, pushing into the plains. It kind of comes in dry and mild, but the rains pick up over the Mississippi into the Ohio River Valley Friday night into Saturday, and then the rain really starts to pick up along the I-95 corridor on Saturday from D.C. up through Boston. The good news with this system, it's moving pretty quick. David?
All right. Glad you got the hat on tonight, Rob. Thank you. To the index and soccer star Christian Pulisic from Team USA out of the hospital tonight, injured scoring that game-winning goal against Iran, suffering a pelvic contusion. Will he play against the Netherlands this weekend?
Taking it day by day right now, but doing everything in my power to be able to be out there on the field on Saturday.
Let's hope. He says after being injured, he nervously watched the rest of that game on a phone in the ambulance. We do have a passing to note tonight. Legendary Hall of Fame pitcher Gaylord Perry has died. A two-time Cy Young Award winner, the proud master of the spitball, caught only one time in his career. He was 84. Finally tonight, from Kyiv to Carnegie Hall. This is the Ukrainian Children's Choir Shadrik in Kyiv. Dozens of children as young as 11 practicing in a bomb shelter in the capital, in the dark, using their cell phones as flashlights, rehearsing for a performance in America. They were invited to Carnegie Hall in New York City and overnight arriving in Grand Central Terminal, singing Carol of the Bells. And it turns out the song was originally written in Ukraine by a Ukrainian composer, an American later adding the lyrics. Originally performed at Carnegie Hall in 1922, tonight, 100 years later, those children preparing to bring the carol back. They'll perform Sunday, raising money for United 24, their government's initiative to help rebuild Ukraine. Now that the children have made their way to America, they're practicing in local churches. And right here tonight,
hi, David.
The children and their hope
is going to represent our culture and our power of standing for Ukraine. It can become more apparent for Americans why it is so important to fight in this war and to win.
Welcome to America. We wish them well at Carnegie Hall. Good night.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius, only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! Our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.